Hi everyone, it's James Sambrook from the Birmingham Marketing Meetup. I hope you're well. Just introducing this next talk, which is by a lady called Kay Edwin, who is the Client Services Director for Freestyle Agency, who are based in Leamington Spa. They specialise in looking after unsexy brands. And Kay struck me when I first met her as somebody not only incredibly organised, and a true professional, but somebody who's got loads and loads of experience. So we decided that a really good talk for her would be to try and help people understand how to plan a campaign and measure it. And so she's given a really great talk, which is an overview about managing campaigns. And I think you'll pick up straight away that Kay's experience is something that's helped a lot of her clients get some great results. So I think you'll really enjoy that. As always, massive thanks to Barry at Bravo Marketing for sorting out these podcasts, editing them, and making them sound brilliant. He's been really, really helpful in helping us get more podcasts out. So thank you, Barry. And also, if you want to get more from the Marketing Meetup, then please do head to our website where you'll get links to the newsletter that's coming out every Wednesday, which Joe's been working really hard on. Obviously social media, we've now got an Instagram account, there's loads of places. Obviously these podcasts are great, and do get involved in the Facebook group as well. There's lots of activities sort of starting to go on in there as well. So yeah, I hope you're all well, and I hope you really enjoy the talk.
So my name's Kay, I work at Freestyle, and I've been in marketing for about 15 years now. So I started out in print, but it turns out I was really, really bad at proofreading, so that didn't work too well. So the transition to digital was actually really easy for me. I've worked with loads of clients all over the world. I've moved around the UK quite a bit to work with lots of different agencies. But it was really when I moved to Bristol and started working with the likes of Microsoft, Samsung, Toshiba and Vodafone that I thought I've really found my niche here. There's a hunger here that I have for technology, and I want to do more of it. So now I've been at Freestyle for about 8 years. I'm Client Services Director. I look after all of our lovely clients and try and help them do one of three things, really. That's either build their brand, make more money, or sell more stuff. So before we jump into the campaign itself, I just wanted to touch base on the Walker's Wave campaign. I don't know if you've seen this or remember this one. This was live in 2017. And the theory behind it was really brilliant, actually. Fans were asked to tweet in their selfie to the campaign page. Lovely Gary Lineker there. Let me get the laser pen. Yeah, there he is. And it was an automated bot that just pulled in all of the selfie pictures, and Gary Lineker would stand there with his photo frame and say, welcome to Walker's Wave. Thanks for joining I think it was a Champions League final or something to that nature. The problem was there was no screening or filter process on that bot that pulled all the imagery in, so cue the great British public. And we are brilliant at this. We annihilated this poor campaign. So within the first week, it actually went viral, but for all the wrong reasons. So as you can see, Gary Lineker's there with the likes of Fred West. Ted Bundy was pulled in. Any criminal who committed a heinous crime was featuring in this Walker's Wave campaign. And it's amusing to look at this from our perspective, but if you're the campaign manager in charge of that campaign, it's your worst day imaginable. So probably my first hint and tip would be to don't be like Walker's Wave. If you're planning a campaign, think about what could possibly go wrong and then what you do to mitigate that. So we're going to run through what I call 5 steps of campaign planning in a nutshell, all the way from defining what success looks like on the left, I love this laser pen, through to understanding your audience, how you actually create a reason to believe, launching your campaign, and then through to tracking, measuring, editing, and optimizing that campaign once it's up and running. So how do I define what success looks like? This is probably the question I get asked most in my role. How do I track success? What is success? How do I measure success? So I'd probably suggest agreeing what your success metrics are for the campaign at the very beginning of your whole campaign plan. And then link those metrics to your overall business objectives or your strategic objectives for your organisation. Every campaign should feed into your wider business motivation for doing what you do. So really think about how those two tie together. I said metrics plural because I'm thinking maybe 1 to 3 metrics. I realistically don't think you need any more than 3 metrics in any kind of campaign. The more you have, the harder it is to show worth. Don't make a rod for your own back in terms of setting your targets. So you'll look a lot better if you've smashed a lower target or a lower, more achievable target than you have a higher target with higher expectations. So defining success, it could be a phone call to your sales team, it could be someone filling in a form on your microsite, but it's not just limited to those two pointers. A success metric is essentially something that can be relevant for any part of your customer's user journey. Oh, I forgot the GIF. He's quite good. So you've got your campaign, and that was understanding where is my campaign aiming for. So we've got the conversion funnel on the right-hand side. And we all know that the goal of an awareness campaign is to get users to see your campaign message as much as possible. In the conversion funnel, we're looking at the early stage. This is very much about the research part of that customer. They are looking for finding out the best way of either solving their problem or finding answers to their problem. So your possible success metrics could be impressions, tracking views, tracking reach, or tracking downloads. If you're doing a consideration type campaign, then you're really looking at presenting viable messages for your customer. So we're looking at quality over quantity in terms of quality of the customers in your funnel as opposed to the quantity. So you don't want to be attracting a great number of people who are of little value to your brand. You want fewer people who are actually high value per head. So your success metrics could be clicks, bounce rates, average page duration, that kind of thing. And lastly, if your campaign's more about decisions, so driving conversion, you are trying to get that user to do something. So that even could be, as I said earlier, picking up the phone, filling in a sales form. You can pretty much define what that is, but then in terms of what your success metric could be, it could be around conversions or tracking your ROI. So by this stage, we've got our campaign. We know what our success metrics are going to be. So we move through to now thinking about your audience. The best piece of advice I can give you here is to really learn everything you can about your target audience before you start anything to do with your campaign. That could be reaching out to your wider business or your organisation to understand if they have any customer data that you can use, chatting to product managers, has anyone done any customer surveys, does persona work exist already, has anyone done experience mapping in your organisation. Really root out every piece of insight you can find and share it and collate it and digest it as a project team. If you don't have any of that, then you need to be thinking about how you answer these questions on screen as honestly as possible. So we're looking at what does my target customer work as, what sector are they in, what's their level of education, where are they based, does my target customer spend a lot of time online, if not, where do they go for their trusted sources, are there any barriers for my target customer to actually solving their problem, and so on and so forth. And remember, you're trying to understand your target customer when you're answering these questions. You're not trying to project the expectations that you want that individual to do when they interact with your campaign. So, the big idea, a reason to believe. First and foremost, write a brief. It sounds incredibly simple, and in my time I've been asked to read a lot of minds, essentially, based on no concrete understanding of what actually the individual is asking me to do. Put all of your thoughts and feels, thanks Lee, put all of your thoughts into a brief and then share it with your team so that everybody can see what your campaign direction is going to be. Within that brief, focus on the problem you're trying to solve and not briefing your team on the solution that you think needs to be implemented. So, for example, you could be writing your campaign brief to say, I think we need a microsite because people aren't interacting with us online, people aren't filling in the form. I think we need to look at the branding, the look and feel, maybe the colour. We can move the CTA button. Whereas it may well be that your prospects think your brand's a bit crap. They don't actually want to interact with your microsite. So you may actually be needing to create an awareness campaign to educate consumers on the strength of your brand and the benefits of your brand. But if you've already narrowed down what that solution is going to be, you've already blocked your creative thinkers from actually thinking about what else they could do to best serve your audience. Don't be dull. So with the big idea, whoever you're briefing on this kind of creative, you need to think about creating a really big, clear, impactful message. Integrated campaigns allow for so much greater exposure these days. There used to be a time when a campaign would be one big event and then a short follow-up and that would be it. But we're in the age of data. We're able to be nimble and with this multi kind of platform approach. There's no reason why you couldn't run an integrated campaign to really maximise that reach and that exposure. And lastly, I quite like this line, mix a little foolishness with your creative plans. It is lovely to be silly at the right moment. So we move through to asset creation, launch and tracking. I think for this phase, organisation and motivation are key above anything else. It's not rocket science, but you'd be amazed how many people really stumble at this phase. Last year, 98% of campaigns that were launched and went live, according to Campaign Magazine, didn't go live on their intended launch date because of late client feedback and late reviews. So the more you can do to keep your whole programme of launch on track and actually keep everybody moving forward, the better. Find someone in your team that you can empower as a project manager. So that could be your agency team, it could be someone that sits within your organisation. But this is where part of your campaign plan, many hands don't make light work. You need to empower one individual with overseeing asset creation and collation. So that could be tracking that all of the banners have the same copy, making sure that they all link to the same place, making sure that the banner speaks to the microsite, that speaks to the social content suite, and so on and so forth. You're looking for someone to have consistency around your whole output and your whole approach. It's at this phase also that you need to devise what we call a campaign measurement plan. So I can send you around a template for this actually, but it's just about keeping track of where you're adding your tracking codes and which assets they sit in. Because at the end of this campaign, you then need to say to someone, your boss, your line manager, that this campaign really worked for these reasons and it smashed these metrics based on these. So campaign tracking and the measurement plan is actually one of the most important things you can do within a campaign. Think about your launch date. I'd probably strongly advise against going live on a Friday, unless you or your agency team are prepared to work the weekend and get paid for the weekend. I'd probably looking at launching on a Monday to Tuesday, earlier the better, not necessarily on a Monday morning. But you've got people who are then captivated and ready to learn and ready to interact with the campaign at that stage. We have run what we call soft launches, so whether you launch the assets to your own internal team or you launch your assets to a little smaller team, it just allows you to get everything up and running and you to really sit back and take some time out, maybe take a 2 days or so to then come back to your assets and say, brilliant, everything looks great, I'm happy to go live. We've also actually worked with dummy launch dates, so the whole agency team, all the agency partners, clients, the lot, have all worked to this date, everyone's push, and then we say, actually, the date's in a week's time, but we've all down finished and we can sit back, we can sleep on it, we can breathe. That term, sweat the assets, it doesn't come in for no reason. But then when you come back to these things with fresh eyes, bearing in mind you've probably been looking at this creative for 3 to 4 months, you actually spot things that don't work. You can come into it new and you let other people see how this might work before you actually spend the money and push it live. Building contingency time as well. 9 times out of 10, you probably won't need it, but that 1 time in 10 that you will need it and you don't have it, that's when that nightmare scenario appears. You'll always remember working overnight for some campaign that went wrong in some shape or form. And regardless of blame, it will need to happen at some point. So I'd always recommend building in contingency time to your plan. Right, ongoing edit and optimization. As I said earlier, we're in such a data-rich age at the moment that we have the ability to be nimble and agile with our approach. There was a time when we launched a campaign and we'd sit back with a G&T and really wait for that Millward Brown report to come in that says, great, your campaign reached 600,000 people. And you say, great, I'll just go and wait for all my customers to go into the store and buy the product. But it doesn't work like that anymore. And it shouldn't work like that anymore. We have to work harder for these things now. You need to be setting aside budget in your campaign plan for weekly optimization. And also weekly reporting. So I'd be expecting my clients to request from my team weekly reporting on all the assets that we're working with them on. My guys will be coming back to that client saying, this is how banner A is performing compared to banner B. These are my A-B testing variables. I've tried different copy lines. I've tried different colours. I've moved the CTA and the microsite from here to here. I've moved the push button from here to here and so on and so forth. Innumerable variables, but it's all worth trying. It's worth trying because we don't actually know the end customer. We are hoping and guessing and basing this campaign on what we think we know about the individual without actually getting that individual to work through the assets themselves. I've pulled out some good tools actually that we use, good free tools that I can recommend. We've probably all used Google Analytics before, but it's very good because of the events and the goals that it lets you set up. So I'd massively recommend that one. The Google Agency Toolkit is quite handy too. It pulls in quite a lot of their insights and trend analysis into one package. It's a free tool, but it allows you to run your ad planner through it to do trend analysis and certain parts of customer behaviour analysis as well, so that's worth looking into. And there's a social content suite called Buffer. It's like Hootsuite, but it lets you know when your target customers are online, so you can actually see what they're doing and semi-track their activities so that you can start to post your content as and when they're online. So that's worth thinking about. And lastly, learn, fail fast, and adapt. Campaign planning isn't, it's a dark art, it's not mathematics. You have to learn fast and fail fast and edit and optimize and keep learning. So you can use everything you had from your previous campaign, hindsight, use a bit of foresight, and then this then feeds into your campaign plan. So there's no black and white answer, but hopefully you can learn from some of the challenges and pitfalls that we've had to allow you not to make the same. So I'm just gonna share with you a quick video. Bear with me. where's the video?
Just click.
I'm there.
Must have disappeared. So if I press play.
The problem is, we think we have time. We are the first generation that knows we are destroying the world. And could be the last that can do anything about it. This is the choice. Join the fight for your world with WWF.
Perfect. Click off that. Thanks, James. That's one of my most favourite campaigns of the last 6 months, and I think you can see why. I mean, the approach is bold, the creative is emotive, the feel of that ad is almost something you'd expect from a major sports brand or a new tech innovation product. I think that campaign for WWF really sets apart the charity sector. It made a lot of people in the third sector sit up and go, oh, we're not advertising like that. I mean, we're kind of still putting up pictures of people in wider parts of Africa or people in need. They've gone about it in a completely different way, and that's why it resonates with me. Campaigns are about devising a hook, allowing your audience to recall what that campaign message was. it's fine. I thought you were kicking me off. And within that campaign piece itself, campaigns are the lifeblood of the advertising agency, the advertising world. They allow you to touch your individual prospects in the way that other people can't. They're better than a one-staged piece of advertising. They allow you to have multiple touch points. So when you're planning your next campaign, be bold with your creative and trust your creative team, but also remember that less is more with your messaging. And lastly, with your campaign metrics, if you can add monetary value to those metrics, because my experience tells me that campaign success is always a topic of conversation at the board table. We all have to answer to somebody. So if you can actually prove that your metrics were attached to monetary values, it makes that conversation a hell of a lot easier. Money talks, so make your campaign talk from beginning to end. I'm Kay, you've been lovely in audience, and thanks for listening.